T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Along with Mike Sielski, I'm Glenn Macnow. We always cherish our opportunity to talk to one of our favorite people, the manager of the 2007 World Champion Phillies, Charlie Manuel. Charlie, how are you?
I'm doing good, doing great.
Good. Mike, you set it up.
So, Charlie, I think this is so cool. Charlie is coming out with a T-shirt line. Going to be called Charlie Knows Best. The T-shirts are going to feature kind of your perspectives on hitting. And the cool part about this is that $5 from every purchase of these T-shirts is going to benefit RIP Medical Debt, which is a national nonprofit that will strengthen communities by abolishing medical debt. Every $100 donated relieves $10,000 in medical debt. And as part of launching this T-shirt line, Charlie's going to be at The Monkey's Uncle, which is a vintage T-shirt shop in Doylestown, on the night of Wednesday, October 5th, from 7 o'clock to 8:30, and there's going to be some great giveaways. You're definitely going to want to be there to try to get in line to talk hitting with Charlie. Charlie, you know, what's it like to be a T-shirt mogul?
I am starting to get a lot of attention. I think people are going to start thinking I need attention. But it's actually, all I got to do is walk around the ballpark or go somewhere downtown, especially in Philly or Reading or Lehigh Valley, and I get all the attention I need.
Oh, you are.
I met up with Mark Adams, and we were sitting and talking, and you know, like, he's the guy that makes the T-shirts, and we started just chatting, and we come up with the fact that, you know, like, that I did, you know, like, I wanted to help out when he told me what it was for, and I agreed to, you know, like, help them put out some T-shirts, and you know, like, and I wanted to help people out that couldn't pay their hospital bills and things, and you know, like, because I was always lucky, and seemed like I had some serious illnesses along my baseball career and stuff like that, and I always had major league insurance and great people around me, and you know, like, I just wanted to give something back and help, really.
I think it's great. All right, I want to talk a little baseball with you. I'm remembering back to 2007 when this team made the playoffs and got knocked out pretty quickly. I'm looking at this year's current Philly team and hoping they make the playoffs and go on an extended run, but maybe they won't. What happened when you made the playoffs and got knocked out quickly, and then, of course, next year won the World Series? Do you think, or how do you think, going to the playoffs the first time, even just for a quick exit, how did that benefit the team?
I think once we got there and we got eliminated in three games, I think era right there where, you know, like, we started when I first started managing here, and it seemed like we kept improving, and that's because that we kept adding talent to our team, and then when we got knocked out in Colorado, I feel like that was probably the lowest mark on our team after that game, as far as disappointment. And it was real quiet all the way home. Nobody said nothing. And I think that in some ways, you know, like, that inspired us even more, because when we got to spring training the following season, and I got up to talk, you could tell there was more energy and fight and everything like that in a room. And, you know, like, and I didn't have to say a whole lot. You know, like, our guys was ready and wanting to play. And, you know, like, I feel like that they felt like they let the fans down. You know, like, that that was one of the most depressing losses, you know, like I that we had there, I think. And but that inspired us the next year. And I know it did.
Charlie, when you think back to 2008 then, you know, the Phillies hadn't won a World Series since 1980. I think it took at least some of the fans a long time to really give themselves to the team and think, okay, this team really can win a world championship. It's capable of it. Was there a moment in 2008, either during the regular season or in those playoffs, where you knew in your head and in your heart, wow, this is a team that not only can win a championship, that is, but is it's got that thing that makes you think we are going to win a championship?
I totally agree with that thing that we're going to win a championship. Because, you know, like in 2008, you know, like it seemed like we it wasn't hard for us to stay focused every day because we loved to play baseball and we loved to play in front of our fans. And I think our team liked the attention it got from our fans and everything like that. And of course, our game, you know, how we played, you know, like we had a big offense and we, you know, like we could manufacture runs in about any, like power, speed, any way you want to put it. And that was a tremendous talented team, but the fans also fell in love with our team and we had to gain that, love and respect. And actually, you know, like in 2008, there wasn't a point I didn't think that we was not going to win. Mm-hmm. Believe me.
Yeah. Well, and it came to be. Your strength, we're talking to Charlie Manuel, who's got doing some terrific work with a retro vintage-inspired T-shirt company, and we'll explain a little bit more of that coming up again. But, Charlie, my interpretation of your strength was always that you had this ability to keep a clubhouse together year after year, high salaries, big egos. They all respected you. You communicated. You had humor. Rob Thompson is a different kind of cat. He's, like, just really calm and quiet. But it seems, I'm going to give you my interpretation and ask how you feel about it, that he is a guy who, by presenting his calm, kind of keeps it over that clubhouse, and that is his strength. I guess I'm really asking you for your take right now on what Rob Thompson is bringing.
I think first of all, I'm excited, and I'm glad that Robbie Thompson, got a chance to manage in the major leagues. And I think that I've always liked talking to him. He's a communicator. And I think that what we're talking about a guy, he's kind of got a low demeanor to him, but he's got a communication skills. And he's always had that, especially ever since he's been in the major leagues, because to me, like, he's always worked for teams that needed a buffer in the middle, and he was always that buffer. And he was the guy that walks around after the game in the locker room, and he sees who's up, who's high, who's down, or hears problems that somebody's having, or what's going on. And I think that he—that's who he is. And you know, like he has a good way of getting to people, and he gives them, he lets them talk, and also gives them a lot of attention too. So you know, like, and he's definitely did a tremendous job, and I'm very happy for him, really.
So, Charlie, you had, you know, in the prime years of your managing time here in Philadelphia, you had a huge power hitter, a masher in the middle of the lineup in Ryan Howard, and you would bat him fourth pretty much every night.
Right.
Kyle Schwarber has 40 home runs and as a leadoff hitter. I'm curious as to your thoughts about putting a guy like Schwarber in the leadoff spot and keeping him there.
Well, you know, I think that, I always thought, you know, like when Ryan Howard, when I had him, you know, like, I told Pat Merrill when I first told him that he was my left fielder when I first started managing here, you know, that he was a regular left fielder. And, I said, but just one problem I got, I said, you're not going to be hitting fourth. I said, I got a guy to hit fourth, and that's Ryan Howard, because he's going to hit 50 homers. And, that's a true story. And I look at Schwarbs really, you know, like, one thing as the season's gone on, you know, like in my managing style, stuff like that, I'm not saying, I would probably hit Schwarbs in the middle of the lineup somewhere like fourth, fifth, sixth, somewhere in that. But at the same time, too, in a leadoff hole, I think when I look at his production and everything like that, I'm not going to be disappointed about it. I'm not going to comment on it that it's right or wrong in no way, because if you look at his run scored and his ribbies and the fact that he is has a good number, like the number of RBIs and runs that he's scored and things like that, I would say that they could relate to about it, any top three or four position in a lineup, really. And so therefore, I on this team, I look at him, I'll give that to the Phillies, for putting him in the leadoff hole. Mm-hmm. Me, I've always liked get the game going with the energy, life, and fire. And I've always liked the speed of a guy running and things like that, and like a Kirby Puckett or Ricky Henderson or Kenny Lofton.
Tim Raines,
like
baby. Yep.
Or a Jimmy Rollins.
Tim Raines. Right, yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yep.
Guys like that. But at the same time, too, baseball's changing. And, and whether you like it or not, if you're going to love baseball, you've got to, kind of change with it, I guess. And I think actually he's produced in the leadoff hole. When you look at his stats, if that tells the story, well, then he's produced that.
Charlie, one more.
Can I explain it any different?
No, I hear you. One more for me. You are the hitting guru, and I don't know that I can ask you to solve Bryce Harper's issues right now, but he's 3-for-31, 3-for-his-last-31, no homers, 2 RBIs. All great hitters get in slumps.
Right.
I don't know that. I mean, if you can tell us, that's great. His elbow's too high, whatever. But right. when you're a manager, when you're a hitting coach, and you have a guy going through something like that, what do you tell him? If you tell him anything?
Yeah, I've been around. I want to tell you something. I've seen a lot of hitters, and I've been around a long time. And when I followed Harp when he came back, when he went down to AAA, I kept my iPad on because I could pick their games up on it. And he was down there a couple of days, and he just come right out hitting. But then once he comes back, I've always thought it takes you a while. And the reason is I remember when Jimmy Rollins and come out of spring training, he was with his spring training, he goes and hits in the World Baseball Association, and he got some hits. I think he was 7-for-16 or 8-for-18 or something like that. And he told me, he says, I'm ready to go. I'm ready to play and things like that. And, he still needed some time. Whether he just came back and had a big day, a day or two from now, or 3 days, 4 days would tell if he's ready. Mm-hmm. And I think that Harp's just going through, he just needs to see the ball some more and, start getting his bat on the ball and making solid contact. And it might happen today, it might happen tomorrow, but I do think it's going to happen within the next week or so. I would say at least sometime along the next 4 or 5 days he's going to start getting some hits and getting his swing back. Right now he's struggling to find his timing.
Last one for me, Charlie, and we'll stick with the hitting theme. I think a lot of people look at Bryson Stott this season, and his numbers aren't great. His OPS is about 640 or so. He's hitting only 230. But it feels like, number one, when he's gotten hits, they've been impactful hits. And number two, the people look at him and can say, boy, that kid's got a future. You can see he will become a very good hitter. What do you see when you look at Bryson Stott?
I think the same thing that you just said. I think if Bryson's going to be a good I think he's going to be a high average hitter in today's market. And also I think that he's going to hit 20, 25 home runs. And I think that, what's really, I've been surprised with is how good he's played defense. I know he made a couple errors the other night, but before that, he almost had a clean slate. And, he loves to play. He's got a tremendous demeanor about the game. He don't get too high or too low. And he just comes every day, and he works on playing baseball. And I think the kid's got a really bright future. Yeah.
All right. Mike Sielski, tell us about Charlie's involvement.
So one last time, if you're interested in meeting Charlie, getting a few of his T-shirts on this new T-shirt line he's got going on, which is going to benefit RIP Medical Debt, come to the Monkey's Uncle T-shirt shop in Doylestown on Wednesday, October 5th, from 7 o'clock to 8:30. Charlie will greet fans. He will sign autographs. He will take photos. It's free to the public. And the first 50 people who pre-order a shirt through Monkey's Uncle will be guaranteed a spot among the first people to meet Charlie that night.
There you go. Does this mean you're going to stop wearing those Hawaiian shirts, Charlie?
No, I never stop wearing those.
All right. Hey, listen.
Hey, guys, listen, they kind of cover my stomach, so I got to keep wearing those.
Hey, trust me, I'm there, pal. Charlie, it is always a pleasure. I mean, I think back to when we used to do the show back at Ponzio's and just how engaging you were and how great you were with people, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, okay, so I'm always been, but thank you.
All right, be well.
Yeah.
All right, see you soon. There you go.
He's the best. He's the best. Just a quick story I want to relate about Charlie. If you remember, in 2006, in Charlie's second season managing the Phillies, he and Dallas Green had a very public back and forth. Dallas ripped him on WIP, and the next day at the ballpark, you know, he sought out Charlie, and Charlie was angry, and they had kind of a bit of a confrontation. And as a prelude to that, the night that they clinched the division in 2008 against the Nationals, if you remember that great double play that Rollins to Utley to Howard. So as the celebration was taking place on the field amongst the players, Charlie was back in his manager's office sitting behind his desk. And writers were coming in and out of the office that night to talk to Charlie. And he was watching the celebration on this giant screen TV he had on the wall. Mm-hmm. And on his desk, on opposite corners of the desk, were bottles of VO. Okay? That he was going to drink to celebrate.
He's living large.
Yeah. So while in the office, his phone rings. And I'm standing there with him. And he answers the phone and says, "Hello? What's up, Dallas?" And he starts talking to Dallas Green. And Dallas is calling to congratulate him. And it just, to me, it spoke to the kind of person Charlie was, that you could have that public dispute with somebody, the only other manager to win a World Series in Phillies history. And then within 2 years, they were really good friends and got along so well. And I think that speaks to the human being that Charlie Manuel is.
He's a big man, and as was Dallas.
Yeah.
Two of my favorites. Really enjoyed both of those guys. Let me get, this is where I got to lower, people don't know this, but this is the time of day when the backlight from the sun behind me just puts, I can't see the screen. I'm going to close. I'm going to go to Matt in New Holland, and I'm going to let you talk to him, Mike, while I go close the window.
Hi, Matt.
Hey, how are you doing this morning, Mike?
Doing great.
Good, good. Hey, good show you guys have here. Appreciate you, and you're doing a great job taking over for Ray there.
I appreciate that very much. Thanks.
Yeah, I just wanted to call in and, you know, talk a little bit about what I've been hearing this week from fans. You know, a lot of people are not all in on the Phillies, and I got to be honest with you, I'm excited. I mean, it's been 11 years. I'm at the point where I don't care how they get there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm confident they're going to get there, and I'm fired up for postseason baseball. And as far as the Eagles and this weekend, I think they're going to go down there and win the game, and I think they're going to give Wentz a lot of trouble. And, you know, I don't quite understand the whole thing of people, you know, not agreeing with booing him. I mean, if you're a fan, you have that right, you know. And I just think he let everybody down in the city and never really completely addressed the fans.
I think you got it, Matt. Go Birds.
Thanks, Matt.
I think he started to address it a little bit this week.
I think after what's happened with him over the last couple of years, he has to start doing a little bit of soul searching.
Introspection.
Yeah, it didn't just go bad here. It went bad in Indianapolis, too.
Yeah, boy, they couldn't get rid of him fast enough.
No.
And they took a lot less than they paid the Eagles, too.
Yeah, and, you know, look at the franchise he ended up with. It's not as if, you know, Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots took a chance on him. It's Washington and Dan Snyder. It's not exactly a marquee franchise.
All right, let me go to our next caller because I have the feeling I'm going to be running into you in a wedding next month, aren't I, Mitch?
Yeah, well, November, yeah.
Oh, November, excuse me. Yeah, but I'm telling you, I got that invitation, and I thought, who schedules a wedding during an Eagles game?
Yeah.
Now, here's my question. This is your niece, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay. If there was an Eagles game that day, Mitchell, would you go to the wedding, or would you watch the Eagles?
Oh, come on. The wedding is no friend. Yeah. Hey, listen, I miss all the games anyway. Like tomorrow, I'll be here at 1 o'clock. I hate 1 o'clock games.
Mitch runs the hardware store. Mm-hmm. Cone and Company. What's it? Cone and Company. Right there you go. Down right off South Street. Yes.
Yeah.
So what's on your mind with the Eagles?
You know, why am I not afraid that, you know, Hurts is running, but unlike any of our other quarterbacks, I would cringe. I'm okay with him running, and he just makes it look so effortless, and he's in fantastic shape. Did you guys see that that video of him, like, squatting 600 pounds?
Yes. Back in high school or college, his lower body is very, very strong.
Yeah.
It's one of those, not his strength, but to your point, Mitch, the way that he runs, to me, is one of the things that really differentiates him from Wentz. When Wentz left the pocket and started to scramble, there was this kind of wild abandon to him where it almost seemed like he forgot that NFL defenders are every bit as big and fast and strong as he is. Hurts seems very much to be like, hey, I'm going to take the yardage that a team gives me. I will slide when I need to slide, but I will run through a tackle if I can.
I mean, hopefully we get more W's. He's not, you know, then, you know, when you get deep into the season, you maybe want him to run a little less, guys, but, you know.
Ideally you want, and thanks, Mitch, and I'll see you at the wedding, pal.
I'll see you soon.
All right. You want him to run less, but as you said at the start of the show, it is a very effective tool, since we just talked to the hardware store.
Yeah.
Very effective tool that he has. You have the opportunity this year to really win. I mean, I was watching the Bills week one, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're up 15-18 points in the fourth quarter, and Josh Allen's still running the ball. I'm thinking, what are you, crazy? But that's what you got.
Yeah, and the good comparison with a guy like Josh Allen and a guy like Hurts is, what you've seen from Allen the first couple of weeks is, boy, he's playing at such a high level, throwing the ball and not having to run. But opposing defenses know that he can if he needs to. And that's where you want to get to with Hurts is, if he stays in the pocket and makes plays, that's ideal. And what's even better is if something's gone wrong, he can escape the pocket or he can run on a designed run and push and test the defense that way.
215-592-9494. Coming up, what we're watching. I think Mike is going to warn everybody off of a show. And I'll tell you the funniest thing I saw this week. Mike Sielski, Glenn Macnow, Saturday morning on 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.